Hey everybody, what's going on? Josh Wigler here with another edition of our special Final Fantasy VII Remake bonus podcast coverage here on post-show recaps. It's still just music to my ears, and hopefully music to your ears as well, as you are listening to the sweet sounds of Nobuo Uematsu's riveting Final Fantasy VII score, beautifully adapted for the remake. Let me tell you what you're getting into with this week's episode of the podcast. Your boy Ken Hong of Survivor Gabon, King of Smash, is joining me once again to talk through Chapter 8 of the Final Fantasy VII Remake. No spoilers beyond this point. We are trying to also keep it spoiler-free for people who don't know the original Final Fantasy VII story. We're getting a little bit dicey on that line. We're doing our best. We are talking around a couple of big spoilers with certain characters. So if you're nervous about that kind of thing, maybe play the game first and then come listen to us. But we're doing our very best on that front. But if you're happy otherwise, I would say stick around, listen through Ken and I talking our way from Chapter 5 through Chapter 8 of the Final Fantasy VII Remake, beginning right about now. The Final Fantasy VII Remake is still out there, and we're still talking about it here on post-show recaps. Hello, everybody. I am Josh Wigler, just crashing through a few rooftops on my way to meet a flower peddler. I don't know if you've ever been peddling flowers before, Ken. But that has confused my metaphors. And anyway, I just basically said you're the Aerith to my Cloud Strife, and this got very awkward very quickly.
I've bought flowers from people before, selling like flower vendors, if that counts.
Yeah. I've met a florist or two. But here we are, we're back again to talk some more about the FF7 remake as Ken is making his way through for the first time. I've already made my way through. Last time we talked through Chapter 4. Let's see how far we can get this week. Ken, I think you're probably further along at this point than we're going to be able to get to in the podcast today, but just like overall, without spoiling as far as you've gotten, have your impressions of the game changed at all? How are you enjoying it so far?
I've quite enjoyed it more than I thought I would.
Yeah, even last time.
Yeah, yeah. I'm on the Final Fantasy VII Remake train now.
Yeah.
It's getting so good.
It's really crazy, right?
Yeah, yeah. Once I stopped playing, I started thinking about the game.
I was telling you before we started here that I'm on my second playthrough right now. And I'm gonna play through the game in every difficulty setting is what I've decided. So I've played through Classic. I'm now replaying through Easy. So I'm just like by virtue of that gonna grind my crew so hard that normal mode's gonna be a cakewalk. And then when I grind through normal mode, hard mode, which you unlock by beating the game the first time, I'll probably still just get annihilated.
You gotta keep your characters on easy mode to normal?
Like, oh, transitions? Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I played the first run through on Classic all the way through. Mm-hmm. Now I'm playing my second run through. I'm gonna play it all on easy. Then I'm gonna beat the game again. And then I'm gonna play it a third time. And then I'm gonna play it on normal.
So easy mode must be really easy if you have your characters from Classic then, right?
Oh, yeah. No, it's a cakewalk. Yeah, it's
okay,
great.
Okay.
I'm just doing this for, like, story pickup at this point, because there's so much, like, story that I feel like I got on the first playthrough, but I want to make sure that I really got it for my second playthrough, and then I'm ready for something remotely resembling a challenge. Life's hard right now, Ken. I don't need a challenge outside of what life is giving us on a daily basis.
All right.
So, do you still support those terrorists? Avalanche is a blight on Midgar.
Huh?
Their bomb threat has thrown our offices into chaos, let alone the reactor itself. It's total insanity! But we won't lose heart. No! Everyone at Shinra agrees. The reactor will stay online!
Is that right?
What? You got a problem with that?
Do I have a problem with that? Oh, you can bet.
He doesn't.
Asshole.
All right, so when we left off, Ken, we were all aboard for Sector 4. Jessie twisted her ankle because the Dementors, whatever we want to call them at this point, we're swirling around the Seventh Heaven bar, and we had to save everybody. And Jessie twisted her ankle; she couldn't go on the mission anymore. So Cloud says to Barrett, "Like, look, You give me some money, if you give me a raise, I'm in. And Barrett is like a very easy sell. He's a yes. So it's Tifa, Barrett, and Cloud are going to go on the mission. And if you played the original, if you played the game that FF7 Remake is based on, then you know right away, stepping onto this train, that it's going to go poorly. And indeed it does. You know, Jessie was like hyping up her fake ID game. And she may want to look into a new line of work. Maybe she really does want to go to the Golden Saucer to be an actress.
Yeah, and Tifa's having lots of butterflies.
This is cool, right? Because like I don't remember this being like a really vividly drawn out detail about Tifa in the original game, that like she was so nervous. But they've made like a real meal out of the fact that like Tifa's like not necessarily like a pacifist. Obviously, like she's a bruiser, she's a brawler, she's a badass, she can kick your butt. But like she doesn't necessarily feel like the way that Avalanche goes about things is like the way that it should be done. And so she's on this mission and it's like kind of reluctantly, which I think is a cool detail for her.
I think she just doesn't want to hurt anybody, you know?
Yeah.
She just feels like whatever how they're doing it, they're just going to hurt somebody, and she doesn't want any part of that.
Yeah, and she knows her strength.
Because in the train, she's like, there's a Shinra guy, and he says that he works for Shinra. She's like, I don't care, just go, just save everybody. Right?
That was great. That was cool. Yeah. I liked how they did this. In the original game, like the sirens go off and Shinra spots you on the train, and like the very like the pulse pounding music comes in, and you have to run from train car to train car, and in a very classic like 1997 way, like these very like polygony blocky characters get in your way, and you have to like try and push them out of your way, and some of them won't go out of your way, and you only have like 10 seconds per car. And it was never too hard. I was always able to get out of there pretty easily. So I don't even remember like what the consequences are if you don't clear the room in time. I'm sure like some sort of battle. But the way that Remake is designed, this is such like a combat focused game. So they really just turn this into an action sequence right away.
Yeah. And then you're forced to jump off the train.
Yeah, which is cool. Very, very action style off the train. There's one detail from the original that I really wished was here. Obviously, like Biggs is elsewhere on the mission, and Wedge didn't go on the mission, and obviously neither did Jesse. But in the original game, they did, and they were like in disguise as NPCs in the background on the train. And so like you would go from train car to train car, and like you would talk to people, and it'd be like a guy with like a bowler hat and a mustache, and it'd be like, Do I look convincing? It's me, Biggs. And so, like, they would always like Jesse had like a Shinra like train conductor uniform on. So I missed that. I thought that would have been a fun detail to adapt, but obviously Jesse not making it onto the train and Wedge staying behind. They've got other ideas for them. But yeah, you have to jump off the train, and it's just you and Tifa. And the truth is, Ken, like the next like couple of chapters of the game are really just like very like gameplay dungeon crawl heavy, to the point that like there's not like a ton to recap here. We're on our way to a Mako reactor. I'm trying to say Mako, by the way. It's not really working out so well. We're on our way to a Mako reactor, and we've got some shit to take care of on our way. We have to like crawl through the train system. We got to fight some like floating robots. We got to follow the dog stamp the dog.
Yeah, what did Barrett say about it though? He said something.
Well, he kept calling Cloud Stamp in the first part of the game, and I was like, what is he talking about? Is this like something I should be looking up on Urban Dictionary? Like, is this like a really offensive thing to call somebody?
But Stamp the dog is there to mark certain areas, right, where they can... Right. Yeah. But who drew Stamp? Who spray painted it?
So I guess it's like an Avalanche call sign is like what Barrett is saying. It's like, this was cool. Yeah. This was a cool detail. Like, there's a lot of different cells of Avalanche around Midgar is what Barrett's saying. So like a different cell of Avalanche drew Stamp as like a guide through the train to like get us to the right place. And I don't remember there being multiple cells of Avalanche in the original game. And I think it's like you're growing out Midgar and making Midgar feel like a more lived in place. This is a cool idea. I think it's a fun idea to like imagine that there's like Avalanche splinter cells, maybe not even just in Midgar, but when and if, and God, hopefully knock on wood, when, you know, soon we get to play more chapters of this game, like more episodes of the game, you'll like find members of Avalanche like across the world. That would be awesome. I think that'd be really, really cool.
Yeah, supporter is helping and saying, oh yeah, I'm like here to help.
But Stamp, I guess, is like, Stamp is like a propaganda dog, right? Because there's like, they keep mentioning it, and it's something that's, you know, it's hinted at and talked about a little bit in the background of the original game. And I know, I'm sorry, I'm playing Crisis Core a little bit right now, which is a PlayStation, a PSP prequel to FF7 starring a different character who's not in the remake, certainly as it stands.
Oh, wow. I didn't know you were playing it. Are you enjoying it or what?
Yeah, so some people in our Discord, again, shout out to the Final Fantasy Discord that we've set up, and there's a link to that in our show notes if you want to join. Strongly recommended. We're just nerding out about Final Fantasy VII and beyond. And some people pointed me in the direction of Crisis Core. Shout out to Mike Edwards, who told me like how to get the right emulator for it. I found the ROM. I'm pretty early in it because I'm still just like more drawn to the remake right now. Mm-hmm. But I like it. I like it because I was able to configure my remote control to actually, you know, play it on my computer. Before I was like trying to figure it out on my keyboard, I was like, this is not gonna work out. But in that game, like they're alluding to this conflict between Shinra and Wutai, which is if you don't know Final Fantasy at all coming into the remake, you're not going to know that Wutai is like a different country in the world of Final Fantasy VII, and there's this war between Wutai and Shinra that predates the game. And I guess Stamp the Dog is like kind of like the be all that you can be, like the propaganda dog for Shinra, which is why Barrett keeps calling Cloud Stamp. He's like, you're just a little Shinra attack dog. But they're like taking the Stamp mascot and reimagining it for their own use. So I guess everybody likes a dog is the moral of the story.
Yeah. And you know, there's lots of Easter eggs. If you played Crisis Core going into Final Fantasy, remake, like in the beginning, there's like posters hanging in the first area where you, in the reactor.
Oh
like,
shit. Okay.
In the train station. And there's like these posters where there's like hair gel or something. And I guess Cloud uses that for his hair.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I'm completely sure. So that's why his hair is like that. And there's a white apple poster, and that has to do with Nemesis from Crisis Core.
Okay.
So you'll get into it, but
cool.
There's Easter eggs from Crisis Core in.
All right. Well, I think the move for me is I'm gonna run through 7 again, and then I'll play Crisis Core before I go for round 3, so I can really appreciate all the Crisis Core stuff. Baked into remake. You swear Roche isn't in Crisis Core, right?
I don't remember him being in Crisis Core.
I can't handle anymore. I can't.
There's like three or four characters that I remember in Crisis Core that were like soldiers.
Okay, cool.
But yeah, Roche is not one of them.
I'm really, really early on. But if you go to the Final Fantasy Discord and you want to play a Final Fantasy VII prequel called Crisis Core, we've got the people who've got the hookup for how to do it. So incentive to join the Final Fantasy Discord, where you're getting your Final Fantasy nerdery in many places. But yeah, so you're following Stamp around and you're going around and you're just trying to like weave your way to the Mako reactor, because you're really far off course because the train mission got screwed up. Like if it hadn't gotten screwed up, you would have just been taken straight to the reactor, which would have been nice, but obviously way too easy. But I think that like chapter 5 and chapter 6, where in chapter 6 is where like you're climbing basically right underneath the plate, like you're among the plate, and like you're going from like lamp to lamp and turning power off and turning power on, which is cool. It's like really visually stunning to like see Midgar from this view. I thought it was really, really neat. But this is just, I feel like this is like the padding, right? Like if you're gonna make Final Fantasy VII remake based entirely on the first 5 hours of like the, you know, 60-hour video game, you're going to build in dungeons like this. And so like, you're just like kind of like in dungeon territory for these two chapters.
Yep. Pretty much.
But it's like the first time you get to play with three characters, which is cool. You know, that's the classic combo from the original, that you get three people in your party at any given time. And this is where you get Tifa, Cloud, and Barrett all at once. Do you have any fun war stories from running through this section with the three of them?
I mean, this is the OG team, you know? Just like in the beginning,
it's the squad.
From the OG game. And no, pretty much like it was pretty easy. You just go through the little subway and then you find these spider kind of things.
Yeah. It was like aliens. It was like
they have webs and stuff, and then you get, and then I guess they're turned because of Mako. And then you have the soldiers trying to clean up after them too.
Yeah, you fight a fire trooper, and the fire trooper apparently is weak to fire, which I don't know that that like typically tracks the rules of this stuff. Like my instinct would be to like cast ice on this guy. Mm-hmm. And I bet if you cast ice on him, like he's just gonna get like roided out.
He was just torching the webs and stuff, cleaning up, and then you see him and then you just start fighting him.
Have you been using the assess materia at all?
I've been assessing everything and stealing everything.
Oh, people. Do you have any good stealing stories? Because I didn't really use steal on my first playthrough at all.
I mean, we'll talk about it next podcast when I don't want to bring any spoilers right now.
Cool.
But yeah, there's a couple steal things that you needed to use steal for.
Okay. And good stuff.
Yeah, like I talk about weapons I can only get from stealing.
Oh, all right. Well, we got to talk offline because by the time we get to the next podcast, I'll probably want some of those tips.
that's what you got to do for all these RPG games. Like they always hide good items from bosses and things. Like I've been stealing for now, I've been stealing high ethers, high ethers, and high potions because they're really they come in handy a lot. Yeah. So you kind of want to assess everything and just steal. And once you steal it, then you can just fight the boss or whatever and do whatever you want.
This section is I think where I came to really appreciate it. And I don't think we really talked about it last time. The vending machine culture of Final Fantasy VII Remake. This is not something from the original, but littered throughout all of these dungeons, you find vending machines with benches that you can rest and restore all of your HP and MP.
Yeah, it's great because in Japan, there's vending machines all over. So
everywhere.
And they kind of put it into this game, and it's great.
Midgar really feels like Tokyo. Really does. And I was just there before everything, before the world went crazy. My wife and I were on a 3-week trip in Japan in January. And it was one of the greatest trips of my entire life. And we lived off of the vending machines. So seeing Cloud and Barrett and Tifa getting essential stuff from the vending machines, this totally tracks. This makes all the sense of the world, and this is incredible.
Yeah, it's so funny. And you can buy music from them sometimes.
You should. I mean, I haven't figured out, can you just turn on your playlist wherever you go, or can you only use it in the jukeboxes that you find?
I think jukeboxes for certain, areas, so then whatever music you want. But they have an amazing soundtrack since the original game.
It's incredible. Yeah, the way that they're, beefing up some of the tracks from, Nobuo's original score for the first FF7, and the way that they're just, roiding them out. Really, really, really fun. And some of the new tracks I really, really like. We'll get to I'm sure we're going to get to some of the track that we get in Chapter 8 that I think is new, and it's really, really good.
But some of these vending machines, Josh, they also have discounted items too, which is great.
Oh, yeah. I did not pass a single vending machine in my playthrough of the game where they weren't giving high potions out at a discount that I didn't just rob them blind. I was like, all right, I will take all the high potions you have. Because that's the thing. They high potions are pretty expensive, but you come across these vending machines and they have them at you can get three high potions for $300 or 300 gil. And I don't know that I used an item shop really my entire run through, because everything that I ever really needed was just in a vending machine. Really was being in Tokyo.
all
the stuff I need. If I need coffee, I'll just go to the vending machine. I'll get my premium boss.
It makes things so convenient. And you can get materia and armor too.
Yeah, so it's great. I love that. I think that that's a really great addition to the game. A couple of boss fights along the way that we can talk about. There's the crab warden, who's at the end of the train station. I gotta be honest, Ken, I don't even remember fighting this guy.
He wasn't hard, but he was fun. It was a fun fight for me, anyways.
What was the break it down, because you probably had a more challenging fight than I did.
Because I just spam thunder, and he gets staggered from thunder, and then you just maul on him, and I think I summoned Ifrit, and it was easy. And then you get Tifa's weapon from it too. You get another weapon for Tifa.
Yeah, metal knuckles. Those are good. Metal knuckles are good. I know a lot of people who've been playing through it because they've got the weapon leveling up system. A lot of people have been just grinding one weapon pretty much. A lot of people really like Tifa's metal knuckles, but she's got a few other weapons that I really, really like. And it's worth using all of the weapons at least a little bit so that you can be 100% proficient in the skills that come with the weapons. There's one, I forget which sword teaches you triple strike is a skill. Do you have triple strike yet?
I love Triple Strike.
Triple Strike's the thing.
Yeah. I always use it. I always use it.
Yeah, Triple Strike. So for anyone who, once you get Triple Strike, what I would do is I would equip as much materia that would give me an ATB boost as humanly possible to Cloud. and I would start every battle with a full ATB bar, and the second bar is like almost there too. And I would triple strike right out of the gate, then mash square and keep attacking people until the next bar fills up, and then triple strike again. And I'm like, you know, 78% of the way through the battle at that point.
Damn, you know what I do? I have the ATB bar when I go into, and then what I do is I assess it and I start stealing.
Okay, yeah, no, that's good. So that's what I should be doing, yeah.
I spam steal, and I have luck up materia on Cloud, so I can have a chance to steal better.
Yeah, I'm leveling up my luck ups right now.
Yeah, and luck up is really good. It gives you a better chance to crit, too.
Yeah, there's a weapon you get for Cloud in this game that is like pretty like weak, but is really high. You can like max it on crits. Like you can get a lot of critical hits.
Is that the baseball bat one?
Yeah, the nail bat. And
the Negan bat, right?
Yeah, pretty much. It's basically Lucille. And I didn't realize it, or maybe I just wasn't really paying attention to it on the first run through. But like when you change the weapons on characters, like it reflects in the cutscenes. So there's all these like really dramatic scenes where like Cloud is like blocking a barrage of bullets from Shinra soldiers with what's normally like the Buster Sword or another one of these like huge ass swords that can also work as a shield. Except in my playthrough right now, he's just like absorbing them with his baseball bat, which is, and it's like making these huge metallic noises. I'm like, all right, this looks a little ridiculous.
The baseball bat's also different, or the nail biter, whatever it's called. Yeah. It's different because if you do the, I think he does a giant swing compared to any other weapon. He does like a baseball swing for one of his attacks.
When he's in Punisher mode, yeah.
Yeah, in Punisher. But you know, also, I was thinking about Punisher mode. It reminded me a lot of Sephiroth's, like, old stance when he's
in
Punisher mode.
For sure. Yeah. I bet that's not a coincidence, right? Like, it's like,
no,
it's
I mean,
like Cloud, like, emulating Sephiroth to a certain degree, because obviously these characters have history. You and I know a little bit more about that. But that would make a lot of sense to me.
I mean, he was learning under Sephiroth at some point in time, so
yeah, I think it's fair to say that these guys have history. We'll get to the full spoiler podcast at some point. That's gonna be really, really fun.
Where could they be going? Embarking on an adventure to find some treasure.
Chapter 6, it's called Light the Way, and you're just like going around you're basically right at the plate. You're going around from spot to spot. I got lost a few times. I don't know if you got lost.
This place is huge.
Yeah.
And it's also a lot of like up stories and down stories too. So it's like the map was hard to navigate to.
It was tough. Yeah. That was hard. And there was like, I almost missed, there was a summon you can get. Did you get the summon here?
Oh, but right when you see the fans, right? You see the summon.
Yeah,
I wasn't going to leave until I got...
You're like, all right, there's a summon here.
So wait a minute, if you miss this summon, like, is that it? You don't get it because you can't come back here or what?
I think that that's it unless you replay.
You can replay chapters at the end of the game.
Yeah, so when you beat the game, it's not like you have to like go back through the game sequentially. I'm just choosing to do that right now. They give you chapter selection mode, and like you can just like hop from, like you could, if you just want to play chapter 4 again, like if you want to, you know, be a masochist and fight Roche again, go for it. If you want to just like go play chapter 3 and go herd cats again, like Ken loves to do, you could do that. And if like you missed something and you are now like consulting a walkthrough and you're like, oh shit, I didn't even know that was a thing. You can go back and you can go to chapter 6. And if you missed the Chocobo and Moogle summon, which I used to great effect. Remember how I told you that story about when I was playing Final Fantasy and I was the thief and we turned him into a ninja and he gill-tossed our way to victory? I used Chocobo and Moogle on the final boss in this game as my crushing blow, and it was an immensely satisfying moment. it's just literally, it's a Moogle riding on a Chocobo rushing at the final boss of the game, and it was.
And doesn't he call it like his friends, and they have a stampede or something?
Yeah, they go to town. They go to town. So it was pretty badass. They'll sing songs about him in Valhalla. Really, really, really good shit. So I mean, like, what's there to say? This is a big, complicated maze. Good luck.
this dungeon is pretty big, and
I think this is my least favorite part of the game. Is chapter 6.
Yeah, mine too.
It's cool. I mean, it looks great, and like, you know, visually it's awesome, but it's just kind of like there's literally no story happening here at all. It's not adapting anything from the original game, so there aren't like a ton of cool Easter eggs that I'm really hyped about. This is just this part was just like a little bit of a grind for me.
I think I only missed one materia here.
Yeah, there's a few that like you can see on like platforms across from you, and you're like, all right, how much time am I going to spend?
That materia is actually one of the best in the game, I think. That blue one that you saw that you wanted to get, and Barry was like, oh, you're about to get that materia, aren't you? And then the road collapses, and then, yeah. Well, I think it was elemental.
Yeah. And that can, like, if you hook that up with lightning and you hook that up onto your sword or whatever, you now have
a lightning attack. Or you can put it on your armor and you can absorb. Yeah, you can absorb lightning or something like that. So that materia is well worth it to try to get here.
All right, so let's go to chapter 7. This is a trap is sprung. And this is fun, like, the whole way through, because if you've played the game, you know what's coming up. Like, you know that, like, Shinra's going to get the drop on you here. And they really make a meal out of it here, dude. they turn, like, this really, really, really quick part of the original game into, like, this big convoluted thing. We're like, all right, so you're going to fight the Airbuster, but, like, how hard do you want that fight to be? It's like, if you want to, like, try and, like, weaken the Airbuster before you actually fight the Airbuster, maybe we could do something about that.
Yeah, I wasn't sure which to weaken, and I just went with whatever.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, so you're reading it, and they're telling you all these, like, stats, like, okay, you could do this to make the Airbuster have, like, less moves or less missiles, and I was like, oh, okay. But you can keep on doing the certain thing, but I think there's a way to make it a lot easier for you.
I didn't crack it. I mean,
I didn't. I mean, my Airbuster fight was hard as hell. So
yeah, like you go in and like most of this is playing out like the original reactor. A cool detail from the original game is that you do like go through like sort of this slide to get down to the Maka reactor in the original, and you do that again here when you show up here, and that was really really fun. But like you basically work your way down. It's fairly easy. There's a couple treasure chests along the way. There's a bulletproof vest. Which you can pick up, and that's good for defense. And when you get down there, Cloud has like some sort of freak out. Like he has like some sort of flashback. It looks like he's seeing Tifa at a reactor once upon a time, standing and sobbing and grieving over a dead person. And she looks like Indiana Jones. And you're like, why? What is this? What's going on? Am I on crack? Like, how is this happening?
Yeah, she says something. She says, like, I hate this, or...
Yeah, I hate them all! I hate them all!
Yeah, she says something like that. And she says it again. That's why he has a flashback, I think.
Yeah, right? She says something that triggers it, and then Cloud is triggered. And so that's where we drop the ominous, dun-dun-dun, what's going on here with Tifa? Obviously, something's going on with Tifa. TBD, to be continued on that. Cloud keeps having all of these flashes. Something's up with Cloud, Ken.
And then people tell him to snap out of it. They're like, Cloud, like, snap out of it.
Yeah, he just, like, gets that far-off look in his eye. It's like, be present. Stay in the moment.
Okay, then. Let's talk about wasteful indulgences. What is Mako? The life stream. The lifeblood of the planet. Our planet. But Shinra keeps on slurping it up like a thirsty dog. What do you think's gonna happen if you don't stop, huh?
We do indeed keep on slurping it up, as you say. But for whose benefit, I wonder? The true nature of Mako is known to one and all, yet the people willfully turn a blind eye to the cost. As you must surely be aware.
Don't you dare try to put this on us! If anyone's going along with your plans, it's because you brainwashed them.
Such methods are beneath me.
So they're trying to get their way out of there, and then here comes Heidegger, the Shinra flunky, head of, I think he's like head of, like, he's like the basically the general of Shinra. He's like the head of the army, essentially.
Yeah, pretty much like defense and stuff, I think.
Yeah, he's like the minister of defense. SecDef Heidegger.
Yeah.
And this is cool, right? Like the way that how they have like all these different holograms that show up here in the original, like President Shinra himself, like shows up on a helicopter and like puts himself physically in harm's way to come and confront Cloud and everybody here, where he's like, you walked into the trap. you stink, you guys are idiots, we're going to set you up, Avalanche is the worst, you guys are working for Wutai, that's what we're going to tell everybody. And in this, I think a lot more plausible is that, like, the president would literally, like, phone it in. He's like, yeah, here's all these, like, hologram flies that will project my vision out to you, and I will not actually be at risk.
Yep, pretty much. And then they want to frame Avalanche for working with Wutai, right?
This shit's so modern. Like, this stuff is so relevant. It's crazy. I mean, like, it's like talking about, like, deep state stuff and, like, fake news and everything. And, like, how President Shinra is kind of just like, if you think I really care that we're sucking out the lifeblood, you know, you've mistaken me for somebody who cares. Like, I just care about, like, you know, lining my pockets right now. And Barrett has a good hate into these guys. He really is pretty disgruntled over the course of this whole thing.
And he wants to put on a show because he knows what they're doing. So he's like, why don't we show them that, show everybody that we're going to take this airbuster down and show how strong Avalanche is.
I love how, like, so they're, like, being filmed and they're, like, going to televise to the world that Avalanche are these horrible people. And Barrett's like, let's play it up for the camera. Let's go. Avalanche is the best.
Yeah. And he's like, we should make a victory pose too.
Yeah. You caught that where he's like,
it's so funny.
It's great.
Cause, in the old games, when you win a match, you do a victory, like, pose pretty much, like a victory dance or whatever.
Right.
And in this game, you don't. So he's like playing it up.
It's so funny. It's really, really, really great. So then you get to this point where, like, they're going to unleash the airbuster on you. But, like, the sense of urgency is really diminished by the fact that, like, all right, but first, you're going to go through, like, five different floors. You're going to clear five different rooms of different types of Shinra troopers. And you're going to make all these convoluted decisions to, like, merc up the airbuster. But, like, if somebody has great tips for this, come to the Discord and let us know. We'll shout you out on the next podcast. I think Ken and I are both like, I don't know. Like, I'll take some of the bombs here.
Yeah, I found the key card, and then I just went to wherever Tifa was, and I just threw it
it's
in.
Like, I just want to fight. I just want to fight. Let's just get this going. How many AIs does this guy have?
Yeah, and there's an item room that you can get whatever you discarded on the airbuster.
That might be the move. It's just
so
like,
I didn't know. I got a lot of these AI chips or something.
Yeah.
And they're worth a lot to sell. But I don't know if I missed anything good.
I think I got, like, a couple of, like, ethers and high potions and stuff.
Okay, so I think the best thing is to do is to get the AI chips to sell because they were worth a lot of money.
How much were you selling them for?
I think it's, like, 500 per piece.
Okay, that's good.
So you could probably rack up to, like, 4,000 or 5,000 if you just went off for AI chips.
Okay. Maybe that's the move.
But I think it makes the boss harder.
Yeah, but I'm playing on easy right now. So for this next run through, when I get to him, I should probably just take all of the AI chips and make myself nice and rich for my normal playthrough, at which point I will now be so roided out that they're not going to be able to, the Airbuster's not going to be able to handle me.
Yeah, I mean, Gil is a big problem for me anyways. Yeah, I'm not rich. It's hard to get money.
Listen, second playthrough. I've got more gil than I know what to do with, Ken.
Oh, man, okay.
I'm swimming in it right now.
I'm poor as hell. I can't afford anything.
You have to do the emergency lock, right? Where, like, you do left lever, right lever, synchronize the Tifa and Barrett. This is, like, the most infuriating part of the original game, and I hate that they adapted it, because it still sucks here.
That was, like, a pain. Like, I failed so many times. I just don't know what the timing is.
Yeah, it's bad is what the timing is. Timing's no good.
I think I figured it out towards the end, though. Then I was like, okay, this is easy. And I just went right through it.
Yeah. It's not great. It's not great. All right. Airbuster fight. So how did it go for you?
Okay. So this is the second time I died.
Yeah.
Yeah. I fought it. And then there's a time where you can't fight him and he has a lot of electricity towards him, like just ooing out of his body.
Yeah.
And he's just, like, pretty much immune, and then if you try to fight him, then you just get hit by electricity, and his arm flies around, that's what you're supposed to hit. And I just went straight for him, and I just died.
he just rocked you.
Yeah, so then after I refought him, I knew that you were supposed to fight the little fist that he shoots out.
And there's, like, a time limit, too, right?
I don't know, I don't think so.
I think doesn't Heidegger, like, he, like, sets a bomb for, like, when... He, he like sets a charge for when the bomb is going to go off in the reactor. Is that not in play during the battle with Airbuster?
I don't remember there was a time limit. I just know that they had they were going to blow up the reactor with a remote mine.
Yeah, that's right.
And then Heidegger just he gets these little mech things to stop.
Oh, I hate Heidegger so much.
Yeah. So they couldn't do it, but their plan was to kill the Airbuster and then blow it up.
Yeah. So they've got like a ton of you have to like three different phases to the Airbuster battle. I mean, it was definitely the hardest boss of the game at the time, and I think up to this point for sure too. But they just like they make it very epic, like, you know, yeah. You're on like the mesh metal bridge and everything, like it's just a lot.
Yeah, it's not easy. Like these boss fights are not easy,
but you beat them, you kill the Airbuster. If the Airbuster kills you, you can kill it after you come back to life like Ken did, or you can just play on classic easy mode and be a total chump like me. I highly recommend it. I'm having a great time just going very easily through this game. And Cloud gets separated from the crew. This is another iconic moment. Cloud and Tifa and Barret are all going to get separated. Tifa and Barret are still together.
Wait, the bridge blows up. Does the Airbuster like blow up, and that's why the bridge like collapses, right?
That's my memory of it from the original. I think that something similar happens, just like a lot more dramatized in this version.
Oh, okay. So then Cloud tries to shoot his little, what do they call it?
Like the little grappling guns.
Grappling gun, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then it still breaks.
At least like they're trying to like plausibly explain how he's going to survive this fall is like to at least maybe give him like a little bit less of a drop. Give him a grappling gun, like maybe he would actually plausibly survive falling into just like a bed of flowers, and that's going to be soft enough to keep him alive.
Yeah, how did he survive?
It's hard to say, Ken. This is video game physics are in in full force right now.
But before that, he's like telling Barret to take Tifa, get out of here. Barret goes, "You're not such a bad guy after
all. You're all right, man." Cloud's like, "Shut up and go." Yeah, it seems like parting is such sweet sorrow because these guys were finally starting to get on the same page, Cloud.
Yeah, and Tifa is all super sad. She's like, "No, we gotta save him," and she is taken away.
I think that that is one thing just to say quickly about the game is like the banter between characters. Like that's one thing that I really like about those two chapters back to back, where it's just like, I guess three chapters really, 5 through 7 are so action oriented. But like when you're like fighting all these battles and like after battles, like the interplay between the characters, like Cloud will tell Barret, like, "You're not so bad." And Barret will be like, "Oh, thanks." Like it just like feels like it's kind of like deepening the character dynamics between everybody.
Yeah, that's great.
You're
Aerith. It's Aerith. And you are?
Cloud.
Nice to meet you again.
Again, huh?
What? You don't remember? What about the flowers?
Oh, the flower girl. And this is?
An old church in the Sector 5 slums. You came crashing through the roof without so much as a lookout below. Fell right into my flower bed. Lucky for you. Like, really.
Sorry, I didn't mean to...
Don't worry about it. They're a lot tougher than they look.
All right, so we crash through... Cloud crashes into a church, and he wakes up in a pile of flowers, and there she is, the flower peddler herself, who we're supposed to call Aerith, but my God, I just can't do it. This is Aeris. And another iconic scene is coming to life. And it's like coming to life so beautifully. I don't know what your experience was with everything in the church, with like Reno showing up and just like the interplay between Cloud and Aeris in this scene, and like how it's like kind of sweet and flirty, but mostly sweet. It's just so great. Like this is such a classic scene from the original game, and they're just bringing it to life in like such amazing, loving detail.
Yeah. Everything was almost exactly the same as the original game, and Cloud forgets who Aeris is, and she reminds him that she was the one who stole the flower. And
how quickly you forget.
Yeah, pretty much.
And like she talks about how you dropped this materia, and she gives you the materia back. She says, "Oh, I've got materia too." And she's like pointing to this thing that's in like the bow that's tying her ponytail. And Cloud says, "What does that do?" And in the game, in the original game, I forget what she says in the original game. She says something like, "It's useless" in the original game. She says something different here, but I don't have the exact quote of what she says. But like, she says something like a little bit more like, "Oh yeah, like this is you don't want to know about this." Like she's like she's like being like a little cagey with the with
yeah.
The
I think she said she's like, "Oh yeah, it doesn't have any power or something." And then Cloud was like, "Oh, it's because you probably don't know how to use it."
Yeah, I think it's like when he asks her what it is, like is there something going on with the materia? Like she says, like could be is what she says. It's like there could be something more to it, which is different from the original game. So I thought that was something that's worth paying attention to. Here comes Reno, a classic. This guy, this freaking guy. I love Reno. The Turks have landed, Ken.
Yeah.
Set it up for people if they don't know what the Turks are yet, and they're just encountering the Turks for the first time through Reno.
I think Turks are like a side organization of Shinra, and they mainly recruit soldiers, and they do other jobs for Shinra. Pretty much like the dirty work.
They're like the mobsters. They're like the mob.
Yeah, and they all wear suits, and they go around, and they have jobs.
Yeah, so here's Reno, who's like sort of like this he's like sort of like the attack dog of the Turks. Spiky red-haired Cloud. He's got like these sort of like red tattoos along his eyes, and he's got his weapon is basically like a cattle prod or something like that.
Yeah, it reminds me of the hunter that you fought with the shield, and he like stuns you.
Mm-hmm, yeah, maybe that was like him that. Maybe he was the huntsman.
Nah, he's a Turk, dude.
Yeah.
Turks are above soldiers.
Yeah, well,
or at least like the second, third class soldiers.
Do you think that they get paid better than soldiers?
Yeah, of course they do.
They've got those Armani suits. They're looking good. They're looking
fly. You'll find more about Turks in Avid Children.
Crisis Corps?
Crisis Corps, yeah.
Nice, cool.
They work with the first class soldiers.
Nice. How was your fight with Reno?
Dude, okay, so this guy is hella fast.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't like this in the original game. This guy is like, I'm talking about flash fast. He's super fast.
That's the thing is, like, in the original game, it's just like, you're on one side, they're on the other, and, like, maybe they'll, like, if they have, like, you know, faster speed built in, like, they'll move, like, they'll, like, hit you more often. But in this, like, they're zipping around everywhere if they've got big speed. Like, him and, like, Roche are both, like, super, super fast.
Yeah, so you're trying to slash this guy. He's dodging everything. And then it's funny because he looks at Cloud's eyes, and Cloud's eyes are Mako-infused, because all the soldiers have, like, Mako-infused energy in them. And he's like, oh, you used to be part of, like, Soldier. Like, what class? And then Cloud's like, first. And he was just getting a big laugh out of it, because he was like, no way this guy's first.
Yeah, I loved that. He's like, sorry, man, but no way.
Yeah. So, so he fights him, and he tests his strength and stuff. And for me at this point in time, I don't have any heal material on Cloud, because mine was just all like ATB slash like
user,
whatever. Yeah, so I had to use like potions and stuff, and my high potion stock went really down the drain after this fight.
That's why I recommend anytime you go buy one of the vending machines, they'll almost always have a deal on high potions, and you should always accept. I used high potions all through the game. That was my main healing criteria.
You're fighting him, and he's just dodging all over. So the trick is to block.
Yeah,
because he's so fast. So you block his attacks, and then you can counter.
There's like a Counter Strike thing that you can learn with one of the weapons. I don't know if you have it at this point in the game, but like it basically like gets you into like a counter stance, so that when you get hit, like you're defending, and then you automatically respond with an attack. I think there's also like a materia that you can equip that's like really, really good for that, but I haven't
gotten
it.
Maybe it's parry, but I don't have that yet. Well, at that point, you don't have it. But if you go on Punisher mode, the stance that Sephiroth has, and you shield, and if something hits you, you should automatically counter back anyways.
Oh, that's awesome. That's cool.
So that's what you should be doing in this fight. And then, Reno's not too hard if you know how to fight him.
So at this point, Aerith, I said Aerith. I hate the way that sounds. I'm just going to keep saying Aerith. So Aerith is like, all right, well, so Cloud, you're my man. You're my bodyguard. And Cloud's like, what? What are you talking about? She's like, you do that work sometimes, right? You're a mercenary, right? He's like, okay, I guess. So he helps her get out of there, and they have to like climb up these stairs, and Aerith falls, and suddenly all of these Dementor ghosts are back in the room.
Yeah,
this is again very new. The specters are not from the original game. this sequence is like kind of from the original game. It's different here. Like the mechanic here is like you have to like go across the monkey bars across the church. And in the original, like you're going around from like ledge to ledge, pushing barrels onto soldiers.
Yeah.
I missed that. That would have been fun to do here.
Yeah, I missed that too. I kind of hope they had that. But you can drop a chandelier on the soldier, right?
Oh, I don't. I think I did do that. Yeah, you
kind of have to. And that was that was a pain. They didn't do very.
They were bad, right? Like the mechanics on that are very bad. Like there's a couple of times where you have to do some monkey bar swinging in the game, and it's always very difficult. It's like they didn't. I don't know. They did not program that well, unfortunately.
Yeah, I was like holding forward, and it was going back, and then it wouldn't move. It was it was bad. Yeah.
But you get her out of there.
Yeah, you drop the chandelier, and then. The Dementor ghosts pretty much stop everything. And there's like an item that they're blocking too that you saw that you couldn't get, which kind of sucks.
Yeah, there's a yellow materia that you can't quite get at this point. But if you can maybe potentially possibly return to the church later in the game, you might be able to pick it up.
Yeah, so you escape through the rooftop of the church.
You escape through the rooftop, and Eris is like going to take you on this secret passageway to get you out of danger. And you're like hopping from rooftop to rooftop. And it's incredible because this is a throwaway bit from the original where like you leave the church in the original and like you hop across like maybe like four rooftops in like 5 seconds. And in this... you're taking your time, like you're getting to know each other. Eris is just hilariously like digging into Cloud. The character dynamics are just so, so good. And just like the view of Midgar is so awesome. And like climbing from like ledge down to ledge and like hanging from stuff. I loved this. I thought that this was incredible.
Yeah, this is great. This is a good time for them to meet and talk to each other about their lives and introduce themselves, you know?
Yeah, because she like seems to have some history with soldiers that may or may not be explored later. But she's obviously like very interested in Cloud and, you know, she's happy to show him around. She knows like he needs to get reunited with his friends. They think he's dead. She's like, all right, well, I'll take you to the train station. I can lead the way. And when they get to the train station... obviously, like, the Turks are not done looking for Eris. They still have business with her. For some reason, they seem really interested in her.
Yeah, you're just trying to avoid the Turks at this point.
So they got to take you on the secret passageway.
Yeah.
There's, like, all these back streets that you go down. And Eris joins the party, and so you get Eris to play with you. And this is cool. I really like the way that they've updated her as a fighter. In the original, she's got her staff, and, like, she just, like, bops people on the head for, like, 2 damage. And here she's like a long range fighter, which I think is smart.
She's actually a beast in this game. She has lots of magic power and mana. Yeah. So you can have her heal, you can have her attack. She hits hard with magic. I pretty much keep her in the back and just heal and then spam spells.
She has an ability where she could like heal everybody in the party pretty much, right? Or is it her limit break that she's able to do that?
That's her limit break. And she also has a materia called prayer.
Yeah.
So she can heal without using any mana with 2 ATB bars, which is also really good.
Super useful. I have not dug into hard mode yet, but my understanding is in hard mode, you can't use items in the game. So if you've got the prayer materia and you can heal the party without having to use magic points, which you can't replenish with ethers, that's a good thing to have. So if you're planning on doing hard mode, I think... getting your hands on at least a prayer materia and leveling that up seems like a pretty smart bet.
Yeah, she has a lot of good materia already equipped on her. She has a, what is it, refocus materia?
Yeah, she's got that limit break. Prayer.
That's super good too. If you use it, you get like 3 ATB bars.
Yeah. So she leads you through it, and you know, it's another dungeon. I think that this is a fun little area where you're going around and you're fighting all this stuff on your way to Sector 5. You do have to go across some stupid monkey bars again, which sucks.
Yeah,
but whatever. That's fine.
I mean, this whole thing is just about getting to know Eris, you know, pretty much.
Totally. And she's great. I mean, she's you know, probably, would you say, like, other than Cloud and Sephiroth, is she like the most iconic character from Final Fantasy VII?
I think it'd probably Cloud, Sephiroth, Tifa, and then maybe Eris afterwards.
I think like If you have like passing awareness of Final Fantasy VII, like if you're a video game player and you never played FF7, but you knew people who played FF7, I feel like it's very likely you've heard about Aeris, and it's also very likely you've heard too much about Aeris.
It's because of what I mean. I don't know.
You have to like dance around it, but like there's some stuff that goes on with her.
Yeah, it's one of the most iconic things that happened at the time. So of course,
in any game ever.
Exactly.
Aeris is involved in some really, really iconic stuff. So she's great, and I think that the way that they're humanizing her, and having like, I think like everybody is bringing out like the humanity and Cloud in this one, but she's like really, really doing it. And I just think like sort of like that plucky attitude that she's got when she's hanging out with Cloud.
Cloud is definitely getting softer in terms of being a hard soldier like Merc.
Yeah, yeah.
He's doing things for free and for cheaper.
Yeah, he's doing things on the cheap. This whole section really is about getting to know Aeris, and also like they're building out the game. You're in Midgar for the whole game, so they want to give you a lot to do. So they've built out Sector 5, and Sector 5 has like a really cool sort of like guitar sound to the town music, which is new music for the game, which I really, really loved. But like the whole place is like so cool. Like you're going from spot to spot. All of these people love Aeris. Aeris is like the best friend of the people who run this orphanage. She works at like she sometimes works at a bar in town at like the item shop. Like everybody loves Aeris. And somehow like Aeris and her mom, Elmira, have by far and away the sickest house in Midgar.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they've got an awesome house. Yep. They've got a sprawling flower garden. They've got a freaking waterfall, Ken.
Yeah, they have a lot of land to work with.
It's like, maybe that's why the Turks are so interested in Aeris. They just want to repo her house. They're like, you got this on a deal. And like, we're coming to take it. We're coming to collect.
Yeah, she's not exactly poor, so...
Yeah, so they're doing great at Elmira's house. I gotta get the backstory on how they got grandfathered into this deal. But they're like going around, and you meet Elmira, and Elmira seems like pretty like she's like got her eye on Cloud. But she doesn't have time to like really dress him down because Aeris and Cloud are gonna go around. They're gonna go and give flowers to people in the village at the orphanage. And then they hear that something is going on, with some of the kids from the orphanage who are missing. And this is where you find out that some of these kids, they're like the Lost Boys, right? Like they've got this hideout. There's this like kid Oates and like a bunch of these other kids, and like some strange person is like somewhere in this back area. And so like, here's like another new sort of like dungeony spot built into the Sector 5 area, where you can go around and eventually like you can do some mini games here. You can like, did you bash any boxes, Ken?
I bashed all the boxes.
Yeah, there's the box bashing game, which is super fun, like very Street Fighter 2.
Did you get a big, like a high number to get the best rewards? Or
yeah, I did. There's eventually they like graduate the game, and I have not been able to conquer like the hardest mode bashing. But like the current, like at this point, yeah. I was able to do it.
You had to do it a lot because you had to get those Moogle medals, right?
Yeah, you got to get the Moogle medals. And like all along the game at this point too, like you've been bashing these boxes and you've been like getting like Moogle medals along the way. You're like, what are these Moogle medals? They're key items. What are they going to be? And like you meet these kids, and there's this kid who's like pretending he's a Moogle. And the Moogles, for people who are new to Final Fantasy, are like classic creatures that exist across all of the games. And this guy's like, yeah, I'm Magi Koopa. You're like, oh, you poor kid. You're so lucky these kids are letting you hang out with them.
Isn't there a Goat Saucer like theme? Like,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know what it reminded me of? The Mog game at the Goat Saucer.
I don't remember. Oh God!
You defeat the Mog and then he comes out.
Oh yeah.
I was like, oh no, that's what it reminded me of.
You know, if we get to Gold Saucer, they've got an opportunity to do those games a little bit better, I think, than
it's gonna be crazy. They're probably feed working
Mog,
on it right now.
Feed Mog.
And then he has like babies at the end, I think. I don't know.
Oh,
I don't remember.
God, no, that sounds right. So yes, these Moogle medals, you're getting them so that like this kid, Magi, will give you stuff for Moogle medals, and this poor schmuck is like giving you really good shit for Moogle medals, which are worthless otherwise. So like this is, you definitely want to find as many Moogle medals as possible, and you want to be getting stuff from Magi. That's your boy.
Make sure you smash all those crates.
Get those Moogle medals. You want them for sure.
You get a really cool staff here for Aeris.
Yeah. Yeah, you get that. Like, you get these like books, right? That like teach you skill points.
Yeah, so you can upgrade your weapons.
Yeah, so and there's like a key that you're gonna need. So there's all sorts of stuff that you want to be getting from Magi, the quote unquote Moogle. You also help these kids out that they're hiding in this big back area. You help them. They're so funny in their interplay when you're dragging them back. They're like, "Oh, I want to be a soldier. Soldiers are cool."
Yeah, and they all have like Buster swords on the back of their
Because they're like the neighborhood watch.
Yeah, they have wooden Buster swords. Pretty cool.
So there's this guy. There's another guy in a hooded robe, just like in Sector 7. In Sector 5, there's another dude who's like freaking out on, like, he's tripping out on some kind of thing.
Yeah, and he has a number on his shoulder, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. He's got a number on his shoulder.
Cloud thought he knew who he was, but it was a different guy.
Yeah, there's a two on his arm. He thinks it's Sephiroth. Sephiroth starts like talking about reunion. Says, the reunion is nothing to fear. It's like, what reunion are you talking about, guy? What is this? So this isn't the guy from Sector 7. It's a different guy in a robe. It's a different guy who doesn't seem to be able to like form a sentence. It's like, you gotta wonder, what are these guys doing here? It's almost like they're important, Ken.
Yeah, but it seems like it for now.
So it's almost like Eris knows a thing or two about Sephiroth, too, right? Like, Cloud asks her about Sephiroth. What do you know about Sephiroth? She's like, he's the war hero. Didn't he die? And Cloud's like, that's not the whole story.
Yeah, and he says he might think Sephiroth's alive, right?
Yeah, he's starting to think that Sephiroth might be alive. Yeah. All right, so then there's a bunch of different side quests that you can play here. At this point, it's another thing. Like, it seems like every time you go to a new sector, you can unlock some of these quests, some of these missions. One of them is as simple as literally turning around and talking to Magi. One of them, I think, is like doing this box bashing quest, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then another one is like you go around, and you find the kids, which is a lot easier than finding the cats, for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Just look for the kids with the Buster swords, and you're good.
Exactly.
And even, like, the teacher at the orphanage will give you really good clues. They're, like, really specific clues to finding everybody.
Mm-hmm. And then there's the last quest about the Frog King, right?
Oh, yeah, there's the Frog King. We think there's a Frog King hiding back here. And what is it? It's just, like, some sort of frog monster with a crown that you got to kill.
Yep. And Cloud does the quest for cheap.
Yeah. What's his, like 3 gil or something like that?
Yeah. Yeah. He was like, I'll just take 3 gil.
I like Cloud with kids. I think it's fun.
He says he's not very good with kids, though.
No, but he's doing all right. He's doing better with kids than he is with cats. I'll say that. Wasn't there the angel of Sector 5?
Angel of
the slums?
That's also a quest.
And there's this. There's this older woman there, right? Who's like giving you all the details on the Angel of the Slums.
Mm-hmm. How'd that fight go for you? The mech with the ball.
It was fine. Every fight was pretty easy for me, Ken. I got.
Oh, okay. That fight was kind of hard for me too. But
there's one fight coming up in probably our next podcast that was really difficult even on classic mode, and that was like literally the only one. In classic mode, this game is a cakewalk. If you're really just signing on because you just want the story and you don't want a challenge, classic mode every day of the week, very easy. If I can do it, you can do it. I kept thinking that the woman, the older woman, reminded me of an old friend of yours, Ken. Reminded me of Jillian.
Jillian.
Yeah.
Yeah, she
right?
does.
Yeah, yeah. She's selling elephant dung for Moogle medals.
If there is a Final Fantasy VII remake movie, just
they
gotta cast Jillian. I'll send them. Like, I know a lady that looks just like her.
She really does. The Cloud. So nice to meet you. Chocobo dung.
So she, she has info on the Angel of the Slums, right?
Yeah.
And there's a reporter trying to find info on it.
Yeah, I don't like this reporter. He's given my lot in life. He's given us a bad name.
Apparently he has fake news, right?
Yeah, it's fake news, this guy. I don't trust him. All right, so when you do all of the quests, and the quests are fun, and it's just cool to like run around with Eris and like get to know her a little bit better. You do end up like you hear like there's some one of the Turks is on the path to your house, and it's Rude.
Yeah.
Rude the Turk, who looks like a Tony Vlachos clone.
Yeah.
It looks like another one of the cut from the Tony Survivor Joe, the war dog cloth.
But
guy's Rude, like a lot cooler than that, right?
Yeah, but Rude's not such a bad guy.
That's what he says. He's like, I'm not a bad guy.
Yeah,
I just do bad stuff. He's a good guy, does bad things. Mm-hmm. How was the fight? How was the fight for you with Rude?
It's funny because they walk out, they're like, we have to fight. Like, it doesn't matter, we have to fight. So they start fighting. And, dude, this guy is, Rude is crazy.
Yeah.
He like, grabs you and he spins you around and he tosses you into Eris.
Is Eris playable in the fight?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's 2-1. Yeah, you have to have Eris. There's no way Cloud can take on 1-1 at this point.
Yeah.
But I haven't been like, usually in these RPG games, I would stay back and level up and stuff, but I've just been going straight through.
You're just going through.
I haven't been grinding or anything, you know? So these boss fights for me have been pretty hard.
Yeah.
I'm like underleveled. My materia is underleveled.
Oh, man.
Like, and then I'm too cheap to use like the elixirs and stuff.
Dude, just share play me into one of your sessions one day. Yeah. I'm going to set the game onto easy mode and I'm just going to run around and grind for you while you take a nap. That's my deal that I'll strike with you, Ken. And then all of your stuff will be leveled up and you'll be good as rain.
I mean, I do like the challenge, though.
I know you need me. Just tell me you need me.
Okay, so I'm fighting this guy. He like punches you and then he grabs you. He throws you around. It's not an easy fight.
No. Rude's great, man. So Rude is Reno's partner in crime. They're best friends. They work together. And if Reno's like the kind that like mouths off and he's like really flashy, Rude's like the guy who's seen some shit. Like he's like Samuel L. Jackson in Pulp Fiction, where he's like, if Reno's like the John Travolta character, who's like a little like, he's like going to shoot from the hip, then Rude is like Samuel L. Jackson. He's like Jules, who's like ready to walk away from the game. Where Rude's like, I don't want to be doing this stuff, but it's my job. And he's got like the earrings, and he's got the goatee. And how many pairs of sunglasses does this guy have? Because you like shatter his sunglasses at one point, starting phase two of the fight, and he like eventually reaches into his coat and pulls out a second pair of sunglasses. I appreciate a man who loves sunglasses that much.
That's so funny. Yeah, he has some like ground pounding moves too that he does.
Yeah.
It's cool that they gave like the Turks like a specific move that they're good at and what they do. Like, this guy is like pretty much a grappler, you know.
Yeah.
And Reno's like super fast, and he's just like this guy's
he's
like
a bruiser.
Kind of strength.
He's a bruiser. He's a bruiser. Yeah.
And he also has a hots for a certain someone too.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah, from the old games too. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Forgot about that. So you fight Rude, and Rude's like basically just like sizing you up and just making sure that you're worth his time. And you beat him up, and he goes away. He's like, we'll fight next time. And if you finished all the quests, and if you continue on to Eris's house, then basically the deal she's striking with you is like, look, the station is out, but we can sneak you into Sector 7. Like, there's a way to get to Sector 7 pretty easily from here. Spend the night at my house. We'll cook you dinner. And I'll show you how to get to Sector 7 tomorrow. And then, like, she goes upstairs, I don't know, like, to use the bathroom or something, and Elmira, Aerith's mom, is like, hey, so leave.
Yeah.
Get out of here. You are going to bring so much trouble to my daughter. I disapprove. And so Cloud, like, doesn't even get a chance to react because Aerith is back in a flash. It's very awkward, but Elmira wants you out of here. And so,
she's only looking out for Eris.
Totally. And, like, Cloud gets it, too. He's like, I'm bad news. She's cool. Yeah. She's really sweet. Everybody here really likes her. Even I can see that. So, you're fine, Elmira. I'm going to do what you want me to do. But in order to get out of the house, you have to, like, tiptoe out of the guest room without attracting attention from Eris.
Yep.
And it's so hard.
Let me guess. Did you hit the bucket?
Oh, yeah. Immediately.
Yeah. That bucket is impossible to dodge.
It's so hard. So they, like, literally, like, the ground with, like, I guess no one did their chores that night. I think
Eris put those things there just in case you would leave.
Yeah. I think that makes sense. Yeah. So, like, that's what she's done. And, like, you're going around and you have, like, you have to, like, not knock into stuff and you have to, like, not, like, creak the floorboards and everything.
Well, at least we know that Eris is in a light sleeper.
Yeah, I guess. I guess. Like, that's, I mean, like, anyone would wake up if you ran into this stuff.
Maybe she's just there just waiting for you to knock out something and run out there to put you back in the room.
I don't know. But anyway, Cloud, I don't know about you, but this took me forever. Not because I kept running into stuff. I actually only ran into the bucket the one time. Mm-hmm. And then Eris, she busts you and you go back to your room. And that sequence takes so long that I vowed, like, never again. And I really went very slowly. Like tap, 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 tap around everything. It probably took me like 5 minutes to get downstairs.
Yeah, I try to, I hit the bucket and I try to go fast again. I hit the broom and then I was like, okay, this is.
And is it always that long when she comes out?
Oh, yes.
Brutal, brutal, brutal.
It's terrible. You can't skip it. You just you're like, fudge. You just have to do it again. Yeah, that's horrible.
But you leave and you're like, all right, I made it. Everything's going to be fine and I'm going to get out of here. And so Elmira gives you the directions back to Sector 7. Please don't come back here. Never come back here again. You're like, all right, I got it. Take the hint. And you leave, and you've got the directions, so you know which direction you're going to go. And lo and behold, there she is.
She knew.
Eris was waiting for you the entire time. She's like, what? Yep. You thought you could sneak out on me?
You can't get rid of her.
Leave without saying bye. You can't get rid of her. She won't let you. And Cloud kind of likes it, I think.
Yep. He's like, all right.
She's like, all right, I'm going to show you how to get out of here. And I think that's a good place to stop for now, because a lot of really big, big things are going to happen just in like the very next chapter. Chapter 9 is sprawling. Chapter 9 is a sprawling chapter. Just on the first playthrough, and I don't know if you know this, but there are multiple ways to play through Chapter 9. Chapter 9, best chapter of the game for sure, as far as I'm concerned.
It's overwhelming when you first get there, too. They made a crazy wall market.
They made Shinjuku in Final Fantasy VII. It's like, it's so dope.
Compared to the old one, like, you know exactly where, it's so easy to navigate the old one, but this one is...
It's crazy. It's hard. Yeah. And it's sprawling, and there's a lot of story that's happening. So I have a feeling that Ken and I, we're going to spend a lot of time talking Wall Market next week, talking about a lot of the mini games that are there, talking about some of the adaptation choices. I'm so excited to talk about Andrea, who's the best new character in the game as far as I'm concerned, and everything with the Honeybee Inn is so fun. So we'll talk about all of that next time.
And the dresses. Don't forget the dresses.
Oh, the dresses for sure.
The Tifa
dancing.
Dresses.
My God. Yeah. So there's a lot to get into, and we'll get into it next week. If you guys want to talk more Final Fantasy with us, we've got the Discord up. We've got the link.
One of our friends are coming back, too. What's his name? The guy that you banished from Sector... Johnny, right?
Oh, Johnny. That's Johnny, right. Yeah. Johnny's See, I told back, you. Yeah. Keep an eye on Johnny. Well, Johnny's only coming back if you play a certain way. We'll talk about that, too.
Oh, okay.
He does not have to come back.
Okay, we'll see.
Chapter 9 is a cool chapter because there's a lot that can play a few different ways. So we'll talk about all of that stuff in the next episode of the podcast. We'll be back next week.
Come to the
Final Fantasy Discord, everybody. Check it out. We'll have the link in the show notes of this podcast. If you tweet at myself, I'm at Round Howard. If you tweet at Ken, at Liquid Ken. If you tweet at Post Show Recaps, we can tweet back to you the link if you can't find it on your own. But this is a really, really fun community we've built of people who are talking about Final Fantasy.
And they're very helpful. If you want to play the old games or whatever, they'll help you install stuff and get it working.
It's great. It's really, really, really fun. Ken, anything else you want to plug?
No, that's about it. I'm just happy to do this podcast. I love talking about Final Fantasy. Talking to you about Final Fantasy.
Dude, this is the best. This is the best thing that's ever happened to me. We're in the end times, but at least we've got the Final Fantasy VII remake. So, take me now. Well, don't. Let me play the rest of the game. You can take me after the full remake is available, and then I can go peacefully. But for now, we have to be able to keep podcasting about this thing. So we've got the Wall Market podcast coming up next week. And we'll see how much further than that we end up getting. We're trying to do these about an hour each. Pretty close. See, Ken, pretty close.
Yeah, pretty close.
Eight minutes over. I told you. We talked offline. All right. we'll get offline. Ken, I want those thief tips, so stick around. You and I will talk. And everybody else, we'll be back next week. talking more Final Fantasy VII Remake. Take care, everybody. Bye.
Peace.
People with the purest of hearts can even see Moogles.
You talking about me?
Well, Moogle magic isn't perfect, Koopa.